And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Our special guest tonight, Ann Jurich, is a London-born professional psychic with a very large worldwide following. Her client base includes heads of industry, politicians, celebrities from the world of film, music, and sports. Ann is a leading world pioneer of future life progression, runs the only training school for this in the world. She is the chairman of the Past and Future Life Society. She has representatives in Japan, Kuwait, Dubai, Estonia, travels extensively with her workshops and seminars. Ann, welcome to the program. Good to be with you.
Oh, well, I'm really happy to be here on this iconic show.
And how are you and things out in your neck of the woods with this COVID-19?
Well, it's interesting because the Brits have kind of just gone to ground. I mean, we've seen pictures of people on the beaches and that. But that's a rarity. We're quite old school, so we pull up the drawbridge. You know, we run to our castle, even if it's a tiny flat. And we batten down the hatches. So we've quite retreated. But I think that's actually a survival instinct, you know. But, yeah, quite nervous here, quite nervous, because, you know, we've been hit quite bad, and we're a small country with a lot of people. So people need a bit of hope at the moment. And, of course, you know, buying into fear is one of the worst things you can do. You'll make bad decisions when you're fearful.
Absolutely. Are people wearing masks out there, Anne?
Not that much, actually. If you walk around, it's more the odd person. But they're making it mandatory in a shop and on public transport from 27th. But no, on mass, no. No, not that many, strange. They did to begin with, but not now. We've kind of gone, I think people here have reached a point where they go, oh, I've had enough. And they've kind of just started to get on with life,
yeah.
You know, to an extent. You know, they're not wearing masks. No, they're not. And they probably should be, but they're not. No.
We're wearing them here in this country, but like you just said, people are getting to this point of enough is enough. I don't know how much more they can take.
The thing is, what we're not looking at enough is the emotional effect. And what I've found, because people tend to call me up, it's been stages. Every so often, there'll be a batch of people phone me up having real meltdowns and irrational. One of the early things we had was martial law, there's tanks in London. And they're sending me these bad mock-ups that somebody's made for a bit of a joke. And they're absolutely freaking out. And the rumours, oh, it's, you know, there's so many rumours and conspiracy theories and crazy stuff. And I was going to make one up just to see how much it spread, you know, that aliens have spread this. So people getting a bit irrational. So the emotional effect is one of the big things. It's people are fearful for their jobs, they're fearful for their future, they're scared they're going to get sick. And, you know, who wants to be in the hospital on a ventilator? That sounds
exactly
terrifying. So, you know, yeah, it's a scary old time for people.
And tell us about your life as a psychic. How did this happen? I assume started when you were a little girl.
Well, you know, that's what most people have, and I didn't. It's quite funny. My grandmother was a psychic. Now, she used to read the tea leaves. You've got to imagine old London back in the day. You know, when I was a kid, which was a long time ago, I used to go and stay with my nan, and she'd read the tea leaves to people in the East End of London. So she was a proper Cockney. And I would listen, and I'd think, I want to do that. And I knew she was accurate because I'd see people come back and tell her things she'd said. And I used to sit there and try and have premonition. I really wanted to do this. And, you know, I never got it right once as a kid. So I haven't got these amazing stories as a kid of seeing spirit. I used to sit on the edge of my bed and squeeze my hands and my eyes and try and never got it once, not even by fluke. But I knew it worked. So in my teens, I went in search of intuition. This sounds silly. I went in search of intuition. I wanted to know how it worked. Of course, back then, that was the 60s, I went to India because you got to remember, we didn't have the internet. You couldn't get books. Do you know, George, I'd have to go into London. There was one shop that sold esoteric books back then. You couldn't get your local bookstore. You know, you really had a job to get information. There wasn't magazines. Obviously, we just didn't have the information. So I went in search. Of course, I went to India. I spent a year in India looking for gurus. And I went there because the Beatles had gone there, I thought.
That's right. They went there for the Maharishi, right?
They did. They did. I didn't find him. But I went to a few ashrams. And I'm not that good at meditation. And I'd get a bit bored and I'd fidget. And then after about 6 months there, I ended up in Calcutta, and everyone said, don't go to Calcutta, but I had this real urge to go. And it sounds crazy, but I met a beggar, and he'd become my guru. He'd sit on his mat, and every day I'd go and sit next to him, take him breakfast. And to me, the spiritual stuff was all new stuff. Of course, it was thousands of years old. I was just naive. And every day he'd tell me about past lives or intuition. He taught me how to douse. And he became my guru. And it was on the way back from India, traveling over land, it just opened up. I just started to know things. I tried to read tarot cards twice before. I couldn't make head or tail of them, you know, what that card means next to
right.
that one. And next to, when I came back, a friend bought me a pack, and I just could read them. I just instinctively read them. So I opened up from India. Yeah, that opened me up with a beggar. So that's my early.
Where did he get his training or his gift?
No, I don't know. I never asked him that. I mean, I apparently asked him really stupid questions. I mean, he told me that as I was leaving. I don't know. I think out there that it's just natural part of their world. You know, it's natural part of their belief system to have past lives and future lives, the cycle of life. They still, back then, they were still living quite a basic life, so they would douse for water. It was just natural to them. You know, we go and have to learn it because we've been brought up so differently.
Ann Juris with us. Her website is her name. We've got that linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We're talking about her latest book. I believe it is called The Future Is Yours. Is that it, Ann?
No, that's my second book. I love that book. I mean, that one changed my life. But my new book is Future Vision. Future Vision, Your Working Life. That's my new one. But The Future Is Yours has done incredibly well. I mean, it changed my life almost overnight. And it is my story of future life progression, how I found it, how I came across, started jumping into the future, the opposite of regression. The new book, Future Vision, about 5 years ago, I noticed people were really struggling with work. Things that had always worked for them no longer were. And I could see the world of work dramatically changing. And so I thought we need new strategies for the future. Now, I usually spend about 6 months on a book. I spent 5 years on this one because I know we need a different set of tools for the future. You know, Tony Robbins often says, keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. That doesn't work anymore. Keep doing what you're doing, you're going to slip backwards. The world's going to keep changing, and we need to know what to do next. And intuition's a large part of the book. We've got to go back to intuition as opposed to logic. In fact, we need a combination of both.
How many people do you think, percentage-wise, have psychic abilities? Do you think a lot of us?
I think everybody's got it there and they don't realize it. I mean, I've spoken to people really skeptical, and I've said, you know, when you've been house hunting and you're looking at houses and you walk up the path of one and you just say, that's mine, and you just know it. It's no big revelation. You just know it. You know, before you said, oh, I'm going to have a look and it's got to have this size kitchen. But as you walk up the path, you know that. And I've never had anybody say no. I think everybody's intuitive. Trouble is, we don't need it in our everyday life. You know, water's coming out the taps. You know, there's food in your supermarket. It tends to kick in when we're having a horrible time. So I think a lot of people might be feeling their intuition come up right now because all of a sudden there might not be food in the shop. You know,
right.
During this pandemic, people were panic buying. I don't know about in America, but they certainly were in England, panic buying everything. because I'm scared they wouldn't.
Yeah, same thing happened here, Ann. I mean, the shelves were taken. Everything was gone. The toilet paper was gone. That was one of the first things to go.
Yeah, we had that. Why? I can't work that one out.
Oh, no, that's a strange one. That really is. But things are slowly getting back into the stores where you can get what you need, but they still have lines to get in many places where they count people who come out and put the same amount of people back in. It's still a strange situation.
It is really odd. And the scary thing is we've never lived through that before. We've never, ever lived through that.
No, not our lifetime.
Not in our lifetime. And it really is quite scary. But, you know, I think sometimes we're given messages, VE, the anniversary of VE Day. And of course, there's a lot of footage on TV of what our ancestors went through. And when we see what our ancestors went through, it's nothing. It's nothing. You know, we've got a roof over our head, we've got food on the table, we're having to watch Netflix a lot. Or use our time a bit differently. It's not that tough. It's because it's out of our comfort zone. What I found is people go into a real meltdown. They panic. But what I'm finding is at some point they come out the other side with this clear vision, which has interested me because obviously we're in the year of 2020, which is the year of clear vision, clear seeing. It's almost as if has this happened in order to make us sit down, shut up, because we never listen. We never stop and tune in. You're going to sit down, you're going to shut up, you're going to stop. All that emotional stuff's going to come up. Then you're going to get some clarity. And I've seen so many people panic, then go, you know, I've always wanted to do such and such. I'm going to retrain. All of a sudden, they get a clear idea of where they're heading.
I've got a friend. We've got a family friend. She's 84 years old. She lives in St. Louis now, and she was born in London around 1936. So she was about 7, 8 years old during the war. And she would tell us stories, horrendous stories of the air raids, the bombing raids in London. And she remembers as a little girl just running and hiding and things like that. But she started to become psychically inclined in her later years as well, for no given reason. She just, something happened to her. Does that happen to people?
Yeah, it can do. It usually, yes, it absolutely can do. It can come from nowhere. But do you know what? A lot of the time, people don't realize how, they don't understand how intuition works. So to this day, I've spent 45 years really looking into how intuition works. And people expect some dramatic thing where they clasp their hand to their forehead and go, oh, I've got a bad feeling about that. But it doesn't work like that. My biggest intuitive message is when I hesitate. Somebody will say, oh, go and do this, or here's a deal, or something. And I'm hesitating, and there's always a reason. When I hesitate, that's a message. Intuition is usually subtle, and that's why most people think they're not intuitive. They think it's some big, dramatic thing.
Right.
Can I give you an example?
Sure.
Right, so I think it was in the 1930s or 40s, they did a study when there'd been train crashes, and they found 25% less people showed up for the train, 25% less for the train that was going to later crash. Now, when they spoke to people, they didn't say they knew, but something stopped them going. Now, they looked into other factors. Was there problems with the weather, so they couldn't get to the station? They couldn't find any other factors. 25%, that's a huge figure. Now, a relative of mine who's clockwork, you know, we're not good people of the morning, so we get up, make tea, keys are there, out the door, get that train into London, that tube round to the office. This is my relative. And one day this relative got up and just said, I'm going to go in later. I went, why? I don't know. I just get the feeling I'm going to go in later. Never, ever happened before, ever. And that was the day the tube he usually catches was bombed. And there was no reason for him not to go in. He never does that. He never goes in late. But that day he did, and he didn't catch that tube. So I've witnessed this firsthand. But there wasn't any, oh, thank God it's going to happen. It was I actually said, why are you going late? He said, I don't know.
I wonder how many people had that feeling during 9/11 that occurred here in this country in 2001, where tragically 3,000 people died, but how many people lived because they had that gut intuition and didn't go into work that day?
I wonder how many, and how many had it and didn't take any notice of it. There's a great film with Richard Dreyfuss, and I think it's called Always. He's got a guardian angel, and the guardian angel sent him, don't go down that road, don't go down that road. And you see him stop and think as he's somehow receiving that message. Then he shrugs and walks down the road. Down the wrong road. So I think a lot of us, how many people didn't listen to that should have? I'd love to know how many people didn't listen. I'd love to know how many people said, you know, I just knew not to go that day. I don't know why, I just didn't.
What is that? Is it intuition? Is it that little voice, that guardian angel talking to us? Who's doing that? What's happening?
One thing is, there's so many different theories. I tend to look to science. So, you know, I always look to the great Dr. Dean Radin, because he studies this. And you know Dr. Dean Radin. He can give you amazing scientific explanations. I think we still have a real primitive part of us, and it's a sense of danger. Our ancestors, they would listen to the old man in their head, which was their dreams. They would stop, and they'd feel the hair on the back of their neck tingle, and they'd stop, and they would say, they could feel a warring tribe coming towards them or dangerous animal nearby. They instinctively knew where the buffalo would be roaming. So I think we still have that primitive instinct, and in difficult times it comes up. One of the reasons I think this is because you talk to military and police people, I've spoke to many and said, has there been times when you've just felt something? And they've said, oh, every single one I've asked has said yes. In fact, the British Army, when they teach the SAS, they put them in the jungle and they said, if the enemy's coming towards you, don't look, because if you look, they'll feel you looking. They will sense. And
wow.
It goes back to Rupert Sheldrake's work, the sense of being stared at. You know when somebody's watching you. You might not be able to see them, but you will know. So we have this instinct. You're being stalked by somebody or a wild animal. Something in you will feel it. Now, one of the problems is we're so busy. Our minds are so full of stuff. We're so busy on our mobile phones. We're so busy got earphones in as we're listening to stuff. We're not going to know that wild animal or that bird bad person's creeping up on us. I think one of the major things I'd be saying we need for the future, we've got to get rid of 90% of the stuff in our head. We've got to narrow everything down, and we've got to calm down a bit. We're just overwhelmed with information and entertainment, you know. So, guys, get rid of everything else but keep this show.
You got that right. And we're going to come back in a moment and talk about your work, Future Vision, your working life, and your other works as well. They include Cosmic Energy, Create Your Perfect Future, Instant Intuition, and her second book is called The Future Is Yours. Anne's website is her name. Let me spell it for you, even though it's linked in at coasttocoastam.com. AnneJirsch.com. And again, it's linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We'll take calls next hour with her about future life progression, which we'll get into in just a moment. And don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Need to send me an email? That's george@coasttocoastam.com, george@coasttocoastam.com. We shall be back in a moment with Anne Jurisch as we talk about The Future Is Yours and Future Vision, Your Working Life. And welcome back. Anne Jurisch with us. Her website, her name, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Her new book is called Future Vision, Your Working Life. And what is future life progression?
Well, it's the opposite of regressions. You hear about going into the past, say maybe childhood or past lives. We go the other way. We zoom forward into the future. We slip around in time. Can I tell you how this came about?
Please.
I didn't know I could. Well, I worked for many years, as you know, reading cards. I love reading cards, using my intuition. And I had great fascination for past life aggression. I worked with that for great many years. Then one day, a couple of military guys came to see me, and they wanted to look at something from the past. And we had a couple of sessions looking at various things. Then there was a big thing that had happened. They wouldn't tell me what it was, but they wanted us to go back. So I brought in somebody else. I thought, well, I'll have a go at this with them. We were trying to see something from a particular date and time that happened to do with the military. None of us went back. We all jumped forward. And we actually, all three of us, had some version of the attack on the Twin Towers. And this was 3 weeks before it happened. We didn't understand what we'd seen because that was unprecedented. So we couldn't say, oh, look, this is what's going to happen. But one of them saw two skyscrapers. He said, it's America. I can see CNN there. There's helicopters going around. There's dust, smoke pouring out the buildings. He described the scene. The other one described, he said, I don't understand. I haven't gone back either, but I'm looking out over a bay. He said, all I can tell you is the skyline's changed. And then he said, how can the skyline change? Uh-huh. And I said, well, I haven't gone back, and all I'm seeing is Middle East and something to do with oil and a pipeline. And so all three of us, we just thought we'd had a bad session. We just thought, well, we've obviously not on form today, forget it.
Mm-hmm.
3 weeks later when it happened, we were shell-shocked because we didn't know enough to stop it. But after a little while, we started to think, let's see if we can do this at will. And so we started using the same techniques we used to go back. We started to use them to go forward. And we spent several years predicting world events. And we got it right. You know, not the obvious things that you expect to happen. We consistently predicted the future.
Uncanny things, though, right?
It was incredible. I mean, it changed my entire life. You know, I'd worked all these years, all these decades in intuition and past life. But all of a sudden, this just took off overnight because it worked. I mean, we actually do see the future. It isn't some fantasy thing. We see the future, and that's when everything started to change.
By looking into the future, how does it work, Anne? What are you tapping into to see something that hasn't happened yet?
I think the best explanation comes from remote viewers. Though they mainly use their mind to go and see what's happening elsewhere, you know, go and see where the enemy are or ammunition dumps or whatever. I think some people use it to spy on rival companies. Remote viewers can see what's happening in places across the world. I mean, that mind travel is incredible. But the remote viewers have actually said it's just as easy to see the future as it is the past. And so I tend to think that, you know, we don't understand time. And so we, in our linear thinking, we think, well, I can't possibly see the future. I cannot possibly jump forward in time. But if time doesn't work the way we think, and nobody knows how time works.
No, we don't.
Supposing it's some sort of a loop. I tend to see it as some sort of a figure eight that you can jump from one place to the other. Now, Rupert Sheldrake said your brain is inside your head, but your mind can go anywhere. Now, we know this from telepathy. There's been over 2,000 studies in telepathy conclusively proving that you can know what's happening. So your twin brother has an accident in another country, and at that moment you stop in your tracks and say, Jeremy's not okay. You know, this has happened too many times. I mean, it's done under scientific conditions. We know telepathy works. And so there is a way for that. We know mind transference works. And I think we can send our minds into the future.
Is it conceivable, Anne, that what we're doing is going into something that has already happened in another dimension, another universe?
Yeah.
And we are witnessing it, and then you come back and say that.
Absolutely. It might well have already happened. It might already have happened because we cannot understand time. I don't think our brains, the way our brains are formulated, and the way we've grown and been taught, I don't think we can really ever understand time, certainly not right now. But yeah, I do believe that it could be another universe. It could be another life that we're jumping into. I think we can slip around in time with our minds. I think our minds can travel anywhere.
Would you say that the future life progression is accurate?
This is the thing, incredibly accurate. I mean, three times I've lived in properties that I'd previously seen. Because after using this for a while, you start to jump into the future. Three times I've caught a glimpse of myself in a house. No idea where it is. Absolutely no idea. I thought, oh, I'm moving again. Gone and looked, and it's one of the first houses that's come up. In fact, the house I'm in now is the first one I looked at, the very first house I looked at.
Yeah.
And I've done that. You've got to remember, I've done this with all over the world with people now. We're consistently accurate. I mean, I do think, you know, we can change the future. One of the benefits is if we're looking at our own future, we can say, oh, look, I'm still in that job and they didn't promote me. We can start making plans to look elsewhere. You know, it can help us make better decisions. But you know the bit that really, really captured me? And what happened was I started to take clients forward 5 years, maybe who they're married to or where they were working or living. They were coming back to me months later and saying, it's already happened. So as if we were bringing the future into our current consciousness until it could happen sooner. So if there's better things in the future, we could bring that back into our current consciousness. And I'm not very patient, so that really appealed to me. We're bringing the best. Because we often take a long time to get to where we want to be. That appealed to me. And also, we'd stop wasting time on the wrong people and the wrong situations.
Do you regularly look into the future just to get a glimpse of what might be happening?
Well, most of the time, I let it just pop into my head because I do this so much. But now and again, yeah, now and again, I do go. I actually go more further forward, like 100 years or even 1,000 years, because it's so much nicer then.
Really?
It's not so tough then.
It's nice to know we're going to be around by then, right?
Yeah, 1,000 years, I don't think we're in bodies, if you see what I mean. I think we're more energy. I've done this all over the world, and everybody I've taken 1,000 years into the future talks about them being more energy beings than actually as we are now. 100 years time, yeah, great. We grow up. I think that's what I've liked. When you look 100 years, it's as if something's happening to make us take some sort of evolutionary jump, because by our next lifetime we seem a lot more grown up. We're not as silly as we are now. We're quite silly now, and we seem much more together. Our priorities are different. We work together better. It's not about the individual so much in 100 years.
What's 100 years look like, Anne, in terms of buildings and cars and things like that?
Don't travel as much. We got clean travel. One of the big things that's going to make a huge difference is clean travel.
Are we still wearing masks?
No, thank the Lord. No, I think one of the things we found is certain countries, Norway is one of them, will come up with, I don't know what it is, but they come up with something to really clean the air. But we have clean energy. Look, one of the things we've noticed, George, during this shutdown, lockdown, whatever we call it, is how quickly the world has regenerated. It's been quite incredible.
Yes.
How animals that are out in the woods have started walking down your high street, how flowers have started to bloom in places that the rivers have cleaned up. The Earth is really remarkable how it regenerates. Once we have clean energy, then we've got a whole different ball game. Travel won't be so difficult. One of the things that's going to be a game changer is, and this, the first step will be free travel in cities, just free travel, free trains, free buses, free whatever. That will be a game changer. That is important, and that will get rolled out. So free travel, clean travel. And the other thing that's going to make a huge difference is the universal basic income. That will happen. Everyone will get enough to live on. It won't be live like a lord, but it will be enough to live on. That takes all the pressure off people. They can put food on the table, have a hot bath or shower, have a roof over their head. these are the game changers that I've... They're not necessarily huge things, you know, they're not something from a big sci-fi movie, but that's when the world starts to really change, and I don't think that's all that far off. I'm hoping that will happen. I would expect in the next 20 years we start to give free travel in cities, and that will really, really start to change the world.
Have you looked at COVID-19 and when do things start to clean up for us here, where that thing starts to eradicate?
Yeah, I mean, I think COVID is one thing that's going to sideswipe us. You know, one of the reasons I wrote the new book is because I think we've got a few things that are going to sideswipe us. That's one of the things. It will clear up. Yes, it will clear up. And one of the things I think is a lot of us have a resistance to it. So, you know, I was speaking to a mathematician when we first started to hear about COVID, and he said 10% of the world's population is going to die, because I've worked out the figures and this is the rate it's spreading. And I went, no, they won't. It just isn't going to be that bad. Flu will always be worse. Nobody's freaking out about flu. And he argued and argued. A lot of us already have a quite resistance to it, I believe.
I think you're right. I think a lot of people may have the infection, but their immune system fights it off. And so we show no symptoms.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that we have something in us. So I think a proportion of people are quite resistant. I mean, I'm still going to distance from people because I'm of a certain age, so I'm really healthy. But I think a British thing where we like to survive, so I will do the sensible things. I will wash my hands. I will use sanitizer and keep away from people. But deep down, I think I don't feel that I'm really vulnerable. And I think, again, that's intuition. We instinctively know if we're vulnerable to something. We instinctively know if we need to be careful. So that's one thing. One of the things that is concerning me, and it's, as I say, a number of things are going to sideswipe us. So one of the things we need for the future, and I mean from now onwards, we need to be adaptable. Okay, can't go to the office. I work on the bus. I work from home. We need to be adaptable. I'm a bit concerned that we're putting everything online, everything. We're transferring companies that would never dreamt about putting their people online and now put it online. Suppose the internet goes down for a month. That is my worry.
They're up a creek. You know, I'm concerned if our power grid goes down, there's two possibilities, the EMP attack, somebody detonates a nuke in the atmosphere, or a solar flare from the sun could also take the power out. We need to fix our power grid, or we could be up a creek.
I think so, and I personally would have plan B. I would get yourself a nice little store of food, tins, a little stove, you know, just that.
Just to be ready. Yep.
Yeah, I think so. Have a way. There's some amazing filters these days for water. I would definitely get one of those. You know, don't go and buy expensive clothes and cars. Get yourself a really good water filter, because that one of the things that worries me is water. If water goes down, we're really, if there's a problem with water,
you're
whether
gone
it's
gone in 3 days without water, right?
Yeah, water. So I would have a really good water filter. Get a water butt, good water filter. I'd have a store of food, little stove. And I just keep one cupboard full of stuff in case there's an emergency. Of course, you know how crazy people go. I remember once here, there was a petrol shortage, some sort of strike, I think. And we had 24 hours, you couldn't go and get petrol. People were fighting around the petrol stations, fighting over that little last little drop. You know, it's just mayhem. So how people react is scary. So why not? You know, I mean, your family will tell you you're nuts, but, you know, if it happens, at least you can, again, batten down the hatches and sit it out.
I've never seen a time period, though, where more people are so short-fused. Tempers are just incredible. I had a story on end before you came on tonight where a 77-year-old man got into an argument with an individual in a convenience store who wasn't wearing a mask. And so they took their argument outside, and the guy who wasn't wearing the mask stabbed the 77-year-old And then, of course, police came and shot to death the person who did the stabbing.
Yeah, yeah. People are acting really, really crazy. You've only got to go on Facebook. I mean, I actually had to pull back from Facebook. I still post on there. But it was, my timeline was three quarters people ranting and quite irrational and really irrational and angry of each other.
Yeah,
and
people are tense.
You know, it's not nice, is it? It kind of weighs you down. I kind of think, let's all work together. Let's work together. Let's build something amazing. You know, support each other. One of the things I wrote about was we need our tribes. You know, we need our like-minded group of people more. We need to go back to being a bit tribal, having our tribe
Absolutely.
Of people.
That's a good point.
That are there for us, supportive. We're missing that now. It's just people en masse. We all know loads and loads of people, but we need our tribe that get us, that are on our wavelength.
And in our final hour, we're going to take phone calls with you, but I understand that you will do some personal readings for people. All you want is just a question?
Yeah, yeah, why not? Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, that's
okay, super.
Fun.
So you don't need birth dates or any of that, just a question?
Just a question. I mean, if I need a birth date, I'll ask for it. But usually, I mean, yeah, if I need a birth date, I'll ask for it. If people want to know what career they should be in, birth date comes in handy.
All right, we'll get those just in case for you.
Okay, thank you.
Ann Jurish with us, her website linked up at coasttocoastam.com, and her book we're talking about now is Future Vision, Your Working Life, 10 Strategies to Help You Get Ahead. And I'm telling you, during this time period, it's time to get ahead, but wouldn't it be great to be able to look into the future and see all kinds of things? So we're going to be back with Ann in a moment. Right here on Coast to Coast AM. Final hour to go. We'll take your phone calls. She'll do some readings. Also ask her questions about the future. How about that? Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.